flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
So if you ask me which Super Bowl matchup I would most like to see, I'm looking for the one that's going to give us the best stories over the next couple of weeks. And honestly, you do your homework, you cover this sport, and you're in this business long enough, and it's pretty easy to find storylines anywhere. So don't ever listen to anyone who tells you that it's a boring time of the year in sports, because there's always something going on. Although NFL, we can't miss you if you never go away. We've got four potential matchups in the Super Bowl. Chiefs-Commanders, Chiefs-Eagles. Bills-Commanders, Bills-Eagles. We've got a poll, of course. There's a poll for that. And actually, it ends in the next 21 hours. So we didn't extend it through the football weekend, just doing a 24-hour poll.
My bad.
And so we want you to vote now. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait. Vote to date. All right, that didn't really work. Vote today at Amy After Hours, and then it's on our Facebook page as well. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I think if you can't spell Eagles, though, you have lost your right to cast a vote.
E-L-E-S-E-S, Eagles!
No.
Let's go, Birds!
No, no, no. You can't yell yet, "Let's go, Birds," after
Let's
you...
Let's go, Birds!
After you spell it E... I'm pretty sure she spelled it E-L-G-S.
E-L-G-S, Eagles! Let's go, Birds!
Right, E-L-G-S. L-E-S, or something along those lines.
E-L-E-S-E-S-L-E-S-E-S-E-S, Eagles!
Uh-huh.
Let's go, Birds!
Just stick with Birds. Birds is, I don't want to hear her spell Birds.
Birds! Let me hear you all say.
No!
E!
No! No!
E-L-E-S!
Okay, knock it off. You're going to give me a headache. I'm trying to be locked in for this last hour of the show, last hour of the week. Good morning. It's Friday. Here's what I say. Similar to going out and singing the national anthem, I do not care. I'm speaking from personal experience, but I would say nobody out there, even if they see you holding the words to the national anthem, is going to criticize you for longer than 10 seconds. They're going to forget all about it when you nail it and it's a perfect performance. You know what's worse than holding a card with the words to the national anthem? Forgetting them and singing it incorrectly. Same thing, Sherelle Parker. You know what's worse than having a little sign or maybe putting it on your iPad? I don't care. Write it on your damn hand. You know what's worse than having someone see your cheat sheet? Not knowing how to spell Eagles when you're the mayor of Philadelphia.
Birds!
Just stick with Birds. But there's a lot of people that gave her a different kind of a bird.
It's
no. See, the thing is, that's cheating. You can't pretend like you got it all right when you didn't. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, on Facebook, on Twix, vote for the matchup you'd most like to see in the Super Bowl, which is just over 2 weeks away in New Orleans. We're going to jump around a little bit because we had breaking news overnight. First, from the Australian Open, where Novak Djokovic competes through a first set that goes 81 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes just to get through the first set against Alexander Zverev, and then he retires. He was unable to continue because of a muscle pull, a quad issue. He had it wrapped, but was limping pretty badly. It was a physical, exhaustive first set, and he was understandably discouraged and down when he had to walk away.
I did everything I possibly can to basically manage the muscle tear that I had, and medications, and I guess the strap and the physio work helped to some extent today. But yeah, towards the end of that first set, I just started feeling more and more pain, and it was too much to handle for me at the moment. So yeah, unfortunate ending, but I tried.
He did, and the Australian Open tennis fans, who have a love-hate relationship with the 10-time winner, booed him when he walked off the court. I kind of feel like that is par for the course, considering some of what Novak's complained about, Ben Shelton complained about, feeling like the media was taking liberties that maybe they shouldn't, the on-court announcers. I kind of say about media and announcers, and I've done this for a really long time. I've even been the announcer. Actually, I served as the announcer, on-court announcer for 10 years at the Hall of Fame, the Tennis Hall of Fame in Newport, Rhode Island. Don't make yourself the story. You're not the story. The story is the athletes. The story is their success. The story is the matchups, the battles, the competition, and them achieving new heights. The story is getting to the championship match and crowning a new winner. Don't make yourself the story. And so I understand it's been quite a run here these 2 weeks for some of the athletes. But speaking of Ben Shelton, I think they're on serve in the second set. He had the first two games. Oh, no, actually, I think they're now showing. Wonder if they're showing highlights.
This
All
is
right.
a replay.
Yeah, I was going to say, this looks like highlights to me. Okay, so here's what happened in the first set. They went to a tiebreak. So Shelton won the first two games of the match. So he had an early break over world number one, Jannik Sinner. Sinner then battled back to win three games in a row. Actually had his serve broken twice. Shelton lost his serve for the set, though. So he was serving for the set, but then Sinner rallied and beat him in a tiebreak as well. So they're now into the second set where Sinner already has the early break. So, yeah, that may have been Shelton's best chance to jump on the world number one, to be able to serve for the set and not pull through and then to lose in the tiebreak. That's tough. But the American Ben Shelton into his first Australian Open semifinal. Madison Keys, the American, into the championship match. She reached her first Aussie Open title tilt in the semifinals. She was able to get through. So that was pretty cool. So yay, red, white, and blue down under. Now, turning our attention to a little bit of basketball, we finally hear from Eric Spoelstra of the Miami Heat about what they're doing to rally the troops, I guess, circle the wagons, use any kind of cliche, push through without Jimmy Butler, and not just a Jimmy Butler who isn't with the team, a Jimmy Butler who on purpose is doing everything he can to sabotage his own team. I hate this. I hated it when James Harden did it. I couldn't stand it when Kyrie Irving did this. It bothers me to no end that these athletes essentially throw temper tantrums and treat their teammates and coaches with such disrespect so that they get their way out of town. I hate it. I am a huge Jimmy Butler fan in terms of his basketball. Also, he's a major coffee lover like me. Remember in the bubble in 2020, he had the only coffee maker and he was selling coffee, $10 a cup to his teammates. Then he had to raise the rate, $20 a cup. Anyway, I like Jimmy Butler. I've been really impressed with his grit, his tenacity. He is a guy that you look at, I wouldn't say he's not athletic, but he plays bigger than he is. And what he lacks in maybe the raw talent he makes up for in work ethic. And so I'm extremely disappointed and put out about the fact that he's acting like a punk. He's acting like a spoiled brat and a punk. He's skipping meetings. He's missing planes. He's trying to force his way out of Miami. And he's being a punk. And so here are the Heat. After a week suspension, he comes back. He does more of the same. Conduct detrimental is why they're suspending him. And they're playing on without him. But they've dropped 5 of 6. As you can imagine, this is really hard for the team. It's a distraction for the team. So Eric Spoelstra on Thursday giving us some insight into how he's trying to keep them on the same page.
The point that I made to, you know, to our team is get used to it. Get over it. This is the NBA life. This is the life we chose. If you think that it's just going to be predictable, you're really mistaken. You know, I think it takes a mental fortitude and commitment just to focus on the task at hand. Nothing changes in terms of what the task is. We have a game tonight. We have enough continuity. We know what our identity is at this point. You can make any excuse you want to, but we get to do what we love, we get to compete tonight, at 6:30, tip it up, and, may the best team win tonight.
Well, and they ended up losing, again, their fifth time in 6 tries when Damian Lillard had a triple-double. So Eric Spoelstra talking about we know what our identity is by now, and I suspect he means without Jimmy Butler. They've now played 8 games without him over the course of these suspensions. He was only back for 3 games. He wasn't doing a whole lot. Just is so frustrating, I can imagine, to them as well, because he initially asked for a trade. They didn't want to give it to him. And now, because he's acted like a punk and like a jerk, they're going to go ahead and find a way to trade him. The thing is, if it keeps working for James Harden, for Kyrie Irving, for Kevin Durant, now for Jimmy Butler, athletes are going to continue trying it if they don't have a lot of character. And I thought he had more character than this. So I'm kind of bummed. And you hear from guys like Tyler Hero, who still wants to believe in this guy and wants to play with him, but he's making it impossible.
Probably not the easiest to work with someone who's in and out. In any job. So we love Jimmy. We love for him to be here. And I love Jimmy.
He says it's probably not the best in any job to work with someone who's in and out, but we love Jimmy. We want him to be here. I love you. I mean, that's big of Tyler. I appreciate that. It probably is all true. But how disheartening and how disruptive and how distracting that this is what they're talking about. So in terms of their X's and O's and trying to find some wins, yeah, that's also challenging.
That's part of the job. It's part of the deal. We've had this happen all season long, so we know the exercise and what we need to do to make those adjustments.
Yeah, kind of a bummer, right? So we'll see where Jimmy Butler lands. The trade deadline comes up even pre-Super Bowl. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Another quick NBA note. If you didn't see it, Victor Wembanyama put on a show for the fans in Paris. So shades of the Olympics, but his first NBA game with the San Antonio Spurs in France. They had a 45-point third quarter against the Pacers yesterday. Wemby ends up with 30 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, and 5 block shots in front of that raucous crowd.
I would like to be remembered as somebody who, you know, who didn't take shortcuts and did, you know, all the right steps, did the right decisions. As a loyal person and hardworking, but also innovative.
Well, contrast that with what Jimmy Butler is pulling right now in Miami. It's a lot to like about Victor Wembanyama, and they've got one more game there. Adam Silver's on hand. He's talking about how they're going to use the Wemby success to potentially expand the opportunities, or certainly looking to maybe start a feeder league, if you will, Euro style, so a Euro league. And I think that's terrific. Obviously, they'll do anything they can to expand their footprint and bring new fans on board, but also extend the earnings power. But Wemby's a superstar wherever he is, and so it's kind of neat for him to be able to play in France. By the way, this has nothing to do with Wemby, but I was thinking West Coast or Western Conference teams. Did you guys see the... It's not quite full court. We'll call it three-quarter court. One-handed football pass. Well, I don't want to call it. Let me see if I can. It was more like a would you call it a football? Baseball is overhanded. So it's we'll call it a baseball pass from Nikola Jokic that actually ended up going in the hoop. It was pretty incredible. So it's overhanded, one-handed. He flings it from three-quarter court, and it ends up going in against Sacramento to end the third quarter. So the call on Nuggets radio is kind of fun, but you need to see the video to really do it justice.
1.7 seconds left for Denver. Inbound to Jokic from 78 feet. Got it at the horn! Oh, my God! From 78 feet, Joker, baseball pass, throws that thing home. Oh, my heart's going to explode.
Okay, I feel better now that he called it a baseball pass, too. I mean, it was something, a pass that a quarterback might envy. It was really impressive. But the fact that it banged home and you could hear it with the microphone that's on the rim. So, producer Pete, if you could find the video from the Nuggets and share it on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. It was a sight to behold from one Nikola Jokic who, in one motion, grabs it and just chucks it. And it rattles home. It was awesome. Those are the kind of moments that you see on highlight reels over and over, or that maybe impress the kids. You know, on YouTube, you become a YouTube viral sensation, or maybe TikTok, since it is still operating here in the United States of America.
Oh, my heart's going to explode.
On Nuggets Radio, remind me that guy's name. He's the one that screeches at the end of games. He gets very excited.
Jason Kosmicki,
that's right. He's got all kinds of range with his voice. And I know we started a very successful podcast network as well. So he's an entrepreneur and a businessman and has made a name for himself calling Denver Nuggets games. He's the opposite of Mike Malone. If you think about those two and their range and like their how they communicate, he's the opposite of Mike Malone. All right, one more thing before we get to our break. Remember how Liam Cohen took his name out of the running for the Jacksonville Jaguars job? Right, that wasn't so long ago. I'm hoping that you can remember it. Well, after he told Shad Khan that he wanted to work with a GM of his choice, or at least come in with a GM and not be operating under Trent Baalke, I guess you could say it was more conceptual rather than specifically Trent Baalke. But here's the thing. If he wanted to work with the GM, well, then he would have. And it wouldn't have mattered whether or not the guy was there before he was. But after Shad Khan lets Trent Baalke go, after Liam Cohen agrees to a raise with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that would make him the NFL's highest paid coordinator, he does an about face and he takes the job. So that news broke late last night. Yeah, crazy dominoes, right? Cohen turns it down. Shad Khan fires Trent Baalke. Cohen agrees to become the NFL's highest paid coordinator and stay with the Buccaneers. Cohen then hears from the Jags again, tells Todd Bowles he's changed his mind and is now going to become a first-time head coach at any level. So he's coached as an OC, a quarterbacks and passing game coordinator at the college level, smaller schools, Maine. It was Maine and UMass. So he's been at smaller schools. He was at Kentucky on and off. He went from the Rams to Kentucky and then to the Buccaneers, but he's never been a head coach. So first time, and it's with Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that's kind of cool. But we uncovered this audio. So this goes back to Shad Khan when he had fired Doug Peterson early in January.
If they were to say, I would like to reevaluate the front office and the general manager, what would your response be?
My response would be, how would you improve it? And then if it is credible, You know, I mean, you want to do it, okay?
I wonder if Trent Baalke heard that and knew his days were numbered. Because that was Shad Khan from early January saying, okay, if there's a new candidate who tells me I need something different, I'll listen to him, I'll evaluate, but then you do it if it's a coach you really want. Well, I guess we know who he wanted more. Liam Cohen, about to become the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Come on down. You're the big winner on The Price is Right. Straight ahead, part of a conversation with Chris Russell from Odyssey DC about the Commanders and the Eagles and what's different now that Daniel Snyder is out of the equation. Good stuff. Oh, by the way, he gives us Jaden Daniels' secret weapon. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Philadelphia Eagles.
It's 4th and 11. If the Eagles stop them right here, if they keep them shy of a first down, they win the game. Stafford lines up. He's in the gun. Motion to the near side. Stafford back. He's looking. He puts it in the air, and it's incomplete. It's incomplete. The Eagles take over on downs, and now they are heading for the NFC Championship game. Pressure by Carter.
Washington Commanders.
Daniels, hand up Robinson, head down over the goal line. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! They lead again!
That is big boy bully ball football at its finest. The interior offensive line blowing Detroit Lions out of the way, and B-Rob finishing in the end zone of the Detroit Lions.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, looking at the NFC Championship with our help from Chris Russell, who's with Odyssey DC and on the Team 980, has a midday show, and also part of our affiliate 106.7 The Fan covers the Commanders. And we wanted to talk to him about what we should expect coming up Sunday as the Eagles and Commanders meet for the third time this season, but for the first time ever in an NFC Championship. So I asked him, what does he remember about the season series with Philadelphia?
Yeah, I was at both. The real ironic part of the Week 16 one, which the Commanders won 36-33, was the Commanders were down 14-0 early, 21-7 early. Saquon Barkley ripped off, I think it was a 68-yard touchdown. And Kenny Pickett came in place of Jalen Hurts and threw a touchdown pass on that first drive. And again, the Eagles were up 21-7. They were up, I think, by 13 going into the fourth quarter, and Jaden Daniels threw three touchdowns.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bowlandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdown passes, threw a key interception late with about 3 minutes left to go that, quite honestly, Amy, I thought sealed the deal for the
Eagles.
Right,
me too.
And it didn't turn out that way because he still had more juice in him. So he had 5 touchdown passes in that game. There were a couple of coverage busts, so that was number one. C.J. Gardner-Johnson got ejected with about 10 minutes left to go in the third quarter. That was a key loss for Philadelphia. But keep in mind, the Commanders won that game, scored 36 points. I mentioned what Jaden did, and yet they turned the ball over 5 times and 6 times if you include the one time on downs on the first series of the game at midfield. It was amazing. I've never seen a team score 36 points and win while turning the ball over essentially 6 times.
Right. I guess Detroit would have taken that last weekend
yes.
against Washington. So obviously there's a lot of fire mm-hmm. and no love lost in this rivalry. First time ever in the NFC Championship, though. Yeah. What are you expecting in terms of anything different?
You know, I thought the Commanders played reasonably well in Philadelphia on that Thursday night, if you remember that. The Commanders were really beat up going into that game, not only injury-wise. Jaden wasn't 100%. Their offensive line was kind of torn to shreds, but they were at a stretch, Amy, where they had played or practiced or preseason 17 weeks in a row going into that game. They really needed a break, and they fell apart in the fourth quarter. And we saw what Saquon Barkley can still do late in a fourth quarter and late in a game against the Rams. Breaking off big. What you can't have happen is stop and bottle up Saquon Barkley for 3 quarters, 3.5 quarters, 3 1/3 quarters, whatever it might be, and then lose focus and have a 5 or 6 or 7 yard gain, essentially drawn up, schemed up, what have you, turn into a 50 or 60 or 70 yard run, which is exactly what happened to the Rams. So if Washington can do that, which again, they did give up a long touchdown in Landover the last time these two teams met, and then 2 quick, pretty lengthy scores in that Thursday night meeting. If the Commanders can just keep him somewhat neutralized, again, I know easier said than done, you're going to give up yards to Saquon Barkley. He's going to get 100. Just acknowledge that. But you're trying to not get him to give up or to get 180 or 190 or 200. That's what you can't happen. You cannot miss tackles. And if the Commanders, who are a pretty good tackling team overall on the back end, if they can get better tackling on the front end, Amy, I think they have a chance.
We're spending a few minutes with Chris Russell from Odyssey DC on board with the Commanders as they make this run to their first NFC Championship game since 1992. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I've heard all the words, all the descriptors, but what stands out to you about Jaden Daniels and the way that he's been able to immerse himself in the NFL and play like he's been there for years?
Yeah, the number one thing for me is maturity and work ethic, 2 things. And maybe they're joined at the hip, but maturity. I covered Robert Griffin III every day. Wasn't very mature and worked hard in certain areas of his life, did not work hard in the film room, and that drove Mike and Kyle Shanahan absolutely insane. And it showed up ultimately on the field despite a lot of initial rocket success. I've covered, you know, unfortunately, the late Dwayne Haskins, and again, he did not have the great work ethic. Jaden Daniels shows up at the building, you know, around 5 a.m. every day, win or lose,
wow,
every day, and outworks and beats everybody and has mastered this virtual reality thing that I'm sure you've heard of that allows him to kind of, at the speed that he works it, and I've talked to people involved, coaches and designers and whatnot, and they said it's incredible technology, and it has rocketed his career into superstardom both at LSU and here in the NFL with Washington. But if he doesn't have the maturity and the work ethic to get there at 5 a.m.-ish every morning, to outwork everybody, to stay level-headed, Amy, to never get high. If you look at how they've won these last two games, right, they've won it more with his arm than his legs. But even like back in Tampa, the game-winning field goal that doinked off the upright, even in against Atlanta on Sunday Night Football to clinch a playoff spot, he's just non-moved. He's not jumping around and screaming and high-fiving and going nuts. He's just like, yeah, okay, I did it. I expected to do that. I mean, that's what he is, and it's not an act. He is authentic. He is real. He is mature, and he is beyond his years. And God, I wish I had all of that in my life.
Jaden is only one piece of it, and as much as quarterbacks get the yeoman share of credit, they also get too much blame when things go wrong. But this is a team with other young pieces and a head coach who's in his first year with the franchise. There are a lot of new pieces, GM, the ownership. What are the factors that have caused it to fall into place so quickly, Chris?
Well, it starts with Josh Harris, and everybody can say it starts from the top down, but truly, Amy, I think it does, because Josh Harris empowered not only Adam Peters, the new GM, and Dan Quinn, the new head coach, who wasn't exactly a popular choice amongst the fans, and even some media who wanted Ben Johnson here, who's now with the Chicago Bears a year ago, if you remember that whole fiasco. So it starts with Josh Harris. I caught up with Josh outside the Commanders' locker room last Saturday night in Detroit, and he basically said, look, man, it's Jaden, but Dan Quinn empowers these guys, and this locker room has galvanized. They throw this word and this term brotherhood around, right? And to some people, like, you hear culture a lot in the NFL and in sports. Brotherhood, I haven't heard as much, but man, Amy, they believe it. They soak it up. They eat it. They drink it. They consume it. They sleep it. They do everything with it. And it starts from the top down, yes, but it has quickly trickled down into that locker room where all of those guys, again, believe in this thing, brotherhood, that they call it, right, where they sacrifice for each other. And I know great teams do that, or good teams say a lot of that stuff, but boy, they have been walking it and breathing it again since training camp. And I don't know how Dan Quinn installed it as fast as he did, but they did. And everything that they've done here in the last year and a half has been right. Everything that they've done compared to the last 25 years, where pretty much everything was wrong.
You covered that team pre-new ownership, pre-Josh Harris, at times toxic under Daniel Snyder. Mm-hmm. How does it feel different to you when you're around the team and in the building?
I was entrenched in the building because Dan Snyder owned 980, the radio station, at the time. So we had a studio actually at Redskins Park, as they used to call it. And so I had a bird's eye view. And Amy, all I can tell you is every day it felt like walking on eggshells. Every day it felt like, oh my God, the you know what is going to hit the fan. And everybody was so uptight and afraid to breathe and afraid to, you know, you've heard the stories consistently probably over the years. You can't look Mr. Snyder in the eyes. I had a pretty good relationship with Dan Snyder. For whatever reason, he liked me. I have no idea why. But that being said, he hurt a lot of people that I worked with and had respect for, and on football side, business wise, and all that stuff. This organization, you walk around, and again, Amy, the owner walked up to me and put his arm around me last Saturday night and said, I'm going to see you wherever we play next Sunday, right? And I said, yeah, can we do an interview? And he said, yeah, sure. Wow. So we did the interview. Like, that's such a small thing, but it's symbolic of the culture change, if you will.
He goes on to talk about what it was like under Daniel Snyder. And if you never heard the stories about the toxic culture under the former owner, you need to listen to the rest of the conversation. There's a little bit more in there, too. What is the Commanders' Achilles heel as they head into this game with the Eagles? Great stuff with Chris Russell at Odyssey DC. We'll be covering the NFC Championship. You can find that whole thing on our podcast. How about that? Jaden Daniels' secret weapon. We got some business to do to get ready for the AFC Championship. What is the matchup you'd most like to see in the Super Bowl? It'll be decided this weekend. You can take our poll at A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, or on our Facebook page. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amy. Well, Liam Cohen is your new head coach of the Jaguars. One day after he pulled his knee from consideration, things took a turn, though, when GM Trent Baalke was promptly dismissed. So Cohen now in charge after helping Baker Mayfield put up career numbers in Tampa. Jaguars hope he can have that same influence on Trevor Lawrence. Championship Sunday right around the corner as everything gets started in Philadelphia, Eagles and Commanders. No surprise, the game plan for Washington is to try to contain Saquon Barkley. But defense coordinator Joe Witt also with a message for Jalen Hurts if he decides to test out that Baalke knee.
If he's going to run the ball and if the coordinator makes a decision for him to run the ball, we're going to treat him like a running back, and we're going to hit him that way, you know. So that's their decision if they want to get him hit the way that he gets hit. If they don't, they'll keep him in the pocket. So, but that's what we're going to do.
NBA All-Star starters were announced in the East. You got Jason Tatum, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Brunson, and Karl Anthony Towns. For the West, Steph Curry, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Nikola Jokic. Scoreboard, Bucks putting up a dominant performance.
Ahead it goes to Lillard. Lillard's at the top of the arc. He'll launch a long three, and he drills it. Damian Lillard, who had 6 of his 14 points in the final second of the first half, has just scored his first three here of the second half. Largest lead of 19 now for the Bucks, who are cooking.
29 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists from Damian Lillard. Bucks overpowered the Heat 125-96. Call courtesy of the Bucks Radio Network. Rest of scores, Lakers dispose of the Celtics 117-96. Anthony Davis 24. LeBron James 20 points, 14 rebounds. Mavericks top the Thunder 121-115. PJ Washington at 22 points and 19 rebounds. Nuggets handle the Kings 132-123. Nikola Jokic 35 points, 22 boards, 17 assists. Clippers dismiss the Wizards 110-93. James Harden a triple-double. Warriors pound the Bulls 131-106. Raptors handle the Hawks 122-119. Blazers drill the Magic 101-79. And the Spurs rip the Pacers in Paris 140-112. 30 points, 11 rebounds, Victor Wembanyama. In college hoops, Maryland surprise number 17, Illinois 91-70. And Memphis handle Wichita State 61-53. I'm Marco Belletti.
Chiefs.
3 seconds on the play clock. Mahomes out of the shotgun. Here comes a big rush. Pass over the middle, wide open at the 40 of the Texans. It's Kelce. 35, 30, breaks a tackle. 20, near side, 15. Stiff arms a man. He's all the way down to the Texan 5-yard line with a 49-yard catch and run. It looks like Kelce in his rookie season. Playoff Kelce's back.
The Buffalo Bills.
Here's the snap. Oh, it almost went over his head. Jackson has it, but he's wrapped up around the ankles, and he fumbled the football. It's scooped up by Von Miller. Coming the other way, 30, and he's tackled at the 23-yard line by Justice Hill. Damar Hamlin forced the fumble.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
We've got a few more minutes of your time and the AFC Championship. This is the crown jewel, if you will. Following the NFC Championship, which is division rivals, this one has grown into a rivalry because these two quarterbacks are in their prime. And just for a second, I can't tell you how it would have played out definitively, but it is intriguing to think about what might have happened or how the Bills might have already been to the Super Bowl and won, or maybe even multiple Super Bowls, if Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs weren't playing and excelling at the same time. The Bengals might have been to another Super Bowl. The Ravens might have been to another Super Bowl. That's just how it goes when you've got a dominant team. And so all roads to the Super Bowl go through Kansas City. They are still the toughest out in sports. And yeah, Josh Allen doesn't forget about the previous losses in the postseason.
You always remember the feeling of not pulling through. You know, that sticks with you for a while, and it really doesn't leave. Every year that you go through in this league, you learn more things about yourself, about your team, about the game of football. You know, we're just grateful and humbled to have another opportunity at it.
It's a mindset like we've talked about numerous times in here, right? And in order to win, you can't be afraid to lose, and I think those two go hand in hand.
Oh! In order to win, you can't be afraid to lose. In order to succeed, you cannot be afraid to fail and fall flat on your face. So, thinking about last season in the divisional round, they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. That one was 27-24. The year before, they were ousted by the Bengals. But the year before that, also in the divisional round, losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. Following the 2020 season, losing in the conference championship to the Kansas City Chiefs. So they beat them in the regular season, but they have not gotten the best of them in this playoffs, where it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Andy Reid, it's Travis Kelce, and then the defense now, coached up by Steve Spagnuolo, they also a superstar unit. So I love this matchup for many reasons, because we either get history with the Chiefs going for a third consecutive Super Bowl, or I know it would be awesome for Sean McDermott and Josh Allen. DeMar Hamlin in the Super Bowl would be amazing. This current crop of Bills. But don't just think about them. Think about the Hall of Famers who were denied 4 years in a row. Now, yes, that's something a lot of teams would sign up for, to play in four consecutive Super Bowls, even if they were all losses. Marv Levy is 99 and a half years old. Wow. He might finally see the Bills win a Super Bowl. And I'm not saying it's a foregone conclusion if they get there that they're going to beat the NFC, only that he would finally see them back. Thurman Thomas, who was on the show not that long ago, Jim Kelly, who's beaten cancer multiple times, Andre Reed. Oh my gosh, I could go on and on about these different Hall of Famers, but just the redemption for them, even though it's a different crop of guys, would be pretty incredible. And yeah, this current offense with Josh Allen as one of the top MVP candidates, it's got a lot to offer against Kansas City.
Their offense is very good, just in general. So it's not just third downs, but it's a big challenge. You got the flexibility of the quarterback being able to throw and run. You've got good receivers. You know, they're a powerful, strong offense.
Patrick Mahomes he is what he is. He has shown some susceptibility when he gets rushed and when the defense gets to him. We saw that last week a little bit with the Houston Texans, and they were definitely putting pressure on him and can force him into some bad throws. Now, it's not common, but if he gets bottled up and he can't find room to run, there are times when he'll chuck a ball, maybe off balance, or he shovels it. Of course, there's also times when he's falling down, he's nearly horizontal to the ground, he still fires a bullet to Travis Kelce in the back of the end zone, so there's that. He is definitely slippery. The thing that I like about it, though, is that these two teams, with their history, there's not a lot of hidden nuance. Now, these coaches know each other well for obvious reasons, and the teams do too, and so you're going to have to find an advantage somehow. And while it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to see a repeat, I can imagine there's confidence for the Bills knowing that they beat the Chiefs earlier in the season and beat them fairly handily. But still, there's Pat, right? And this is a personal challenge for him.
When you look at the great rivalries of the NFL, it comes with this. It comes with playing at each other every year in the regular season. It comes with playing in the playoffs. And you have to combat. You have to look at your weaknesses and try to make those strengths. And then your strengths make them even better, because you know that they're going to go out there and try to take away those things. And so it's a great football team. Like I said, great players, well coached. And we know it's going to take our best in order to find a way to get a win.
So earlier, when they played in the regular season, the Chiefs started out the game with an interception. Pat throws an interception on, I think it was the second or third snap of the game, and the Bills were able to score a touchdown after that. Now, the Chiefs rallied, and they were able to take the lead just before halftime, briefly, when they had their second touchdown. And that was, I remember watching that one, it was Noah Gray, and he had a touchdown. One of the backup tight ends has a touchdown, and they take the lead. But then the Bills were able to answer before halftime, and they had the lead. And then do you guys remember the third quarter was just brutal offensively? It was a bunch of three and outs and like really short drives before they got into the craziness of the fourth quarter, which was touchdown, 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 right? So three touchdowns in a row, and that set up. So Buffalo at that point is leading by 9. Chiefs need to go for it. And in the final couple minutes, now this wouldn't be impossible, and it certainly has been possible in the past against the Bills, 13 seconds, but Mahomes is trying to force the issue, make something happen, and he gets intercepted deep. So they start the game with a pick. The Bills do. They end the game with a pick off Patrick Mahomes, and they get those couple of late touchdowns, which is really impressive. So we'll see whether or not it's like that. The key is to try to get some pressure on Pat, but also to contain him, keep him from getting out of the pocket and escaping so that he can either extend the play or take off himself. And what do we know about Josh? You let him get around the edge. Well, forget even the edge, but he likes to go around the edge and then just bully guys and bum rush people. He's so big. He's so fast and explosive. So this one should be terrific. I hope it is. I know that it gave us heart palpitations, but could you imagine another one that's hanging in the balance with 13 seconds left in the regular season? So there's a lot of different ways this one could go or this weekend could go, but what's the matchup you would most like to see as we head into championship weekend? There's a poll up at A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours and on our Facebook page. By the way, I just came across this. I don't know how this happened. I was looking at the For You on Twix. And Terry and Arnold shared a video about 12 hours ago. He fell down the stairs early in the morning. He fell down the stairs. I guess it wasn't early in the morning. Whatever he was up. He was in his unders. So maybe it was early in the morning. But he shared it about 12 hours ago. This could happen to all of us. He's looking at his phone as he gets to the top of the stairs. And then, even though he has his hand on the railing, his feet slip out from under him. He loses his footing and he slides all the way down on his rear end and then just sits there at the bottom. Like, do I have all my teeth? Blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it's really funny. I can't stop watching it just because he goes around the corner, around the balcony at the top of the stairs, holds on, and then bam, he's gone. So he shared it. Anyway, check it out online at A-Law Radio. Let's hope no one falls down the stairs this weekend, this championship weekend. We've got bigger things to do. And we'll be back on Sunday night when we know the Super Bowl matchup. Enjoy your weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.